News Talk 1620 WTAW on this Monday evening. A pleasure to bring in the Texas Land Commissioner Jerry Patterson out of Austin. A couple of reasons for that. One, March is Texas History Month, and you may recall a week or two ago we visited with folks related to the 175th anniversary of the signing of the Texas Declaration of Independence over at Washington State Park, and I thought it was a nice fit to follow up that previous story with what's happening the rest of March. And Jerry, appreciate the time to visit today.
Absolutely. I love to talk about Texas history.
Well, and I'm up to learn a lot about it. I've lived in the state less than 10 years, and of course the state's been around 175, so plenty of things obviously have happened since then.
Well, but don't worry about that. Crockett was only here for, you know, January through March 6th, so, and we call him a Texan. He was here less than 3 months.
Well, again, Texas is in the 175th anniversary mode, and I don't know how that timed with the discovery of some new documents in your archives, but you wanted to visit about that discovery a little bit.
Well, we have 35 million pieces of paper in the General Land Office archives, and we use these documents. They're not just musty old pieces of paper tucked away. They're in our archives, which has got temperature control, you know, all those things you have. You know, humidity and cataloging, and but we use the documents. We use the original surveys, the field notes, the maps, and some of these documents are 140, 150 years old. But we recently discovered some letters from Texas Navy veterans, the first Texas Navy, the one that was in operation in 1836 and 1837, that described firsthand accounts of service aboard the Invincible and the Brutus and one of the four Texas Navy ships that were in action. Of course, by the end of 1837, all four of our Texas Navy ships had either been run aground, sunk, or missing. So, but nonetheless, the Navy successfully guarded the supply lines from New Orleans and kept the Mexican Army from being resupplied. So it's pretty interesting stuff that we've discovered.
And how can one go about taking a look at those materials?
Well, the first thing I would do is, you know, just go to the website. You know, Google up SaveTexasHistory.org or the Texas General Land Office and go to archives. And we have a lot of these documents online. In fact, you can do genealogical research online. You can look at our maps. We have wonderful maps of virtually all the counties in Texas, you know, that are, and these maps are in some cases 150 years old. You can buy copies of them online. We have a program we call This Week in Texas History, where we have PSAs. You can, you know, about what happened this week in Texas history. We sell those as well. But there's a tremendous amount of information on the General Land Office website, and just go to Save Texas History, and you'll find it there. And then you can also come visit if you want to come over to Austin, 17th and Congress, Stephen F. Austin Building, first floor. We have archives there. We would prefer that you give us a little heads up, and maybe bring several people so we don't have staff just showing one person around, but we encourage folks to bring a group and come over and look at our archives.
Well, we have spring break coming up, so that's a nice little road trip, possibly.
It is. Even though you're going to Austin, nonetheless, it is the capital, whether we like it. It's the seat of government.
Well, and obviously many things to take advantage of in the capital city, but certainly this would be something that could provide to be educational. And with the expansion of reality shows dealing with historical artifacts, you know, this sort of plays into that too.
It does, and there are lots of lessons that can be directly applicable to what's going on today. We have a leather-bound volume, the Registro. It's the register of the original 300, Austin's original 300 colonists when Austin, Stephen F. Austin, was impresario. And it's interesting that this document, this register, is handwritten in Spanish by Anglos who had only been here a short while, but they knew if they wanted to succeed in Texas at that time, and this is the early 1820s, mid-1820s, they had to speak, read, and write the language of commerce, which at that time was Spanish, just as today the language of commerce is English, and if you want to succeed, you need to know it. You know, directly related to our current political discourse. We've also got a document where veterans of the war went to San Antonio de Bejar to sign in with the Board of Land Commissioners and get entitlement to land. And there's a column there, and there's a, column is titled Immigrant or Native. And interestingly enough, everyone in that column, if their name was a Tejano name, such as Juan Seguin, they're listed as Native. If their name is like mine, Patterson, Jones, Smith, they're listed as immigrant. First immigrants were Anglos, and frankly, the first illegal immigrants were Anglos. So it's another interesting point that applies today.
My times change.
Yes.
you talked about the website presence. I'm curious if you're able to keep track on what may be the most popular parts of your website.
Well, I think our maps, because the maps are not only informative, you know, pieces of history. And again, we sell copies, first-generation digital copies that when they're framed, they look like originals. But they're also, you know, items of art. They're colorful. They're done by, you know, Kurzbauer, who was a German who worked at the land office in the 1840s. A lot of Germans, engineers, surveyors, did this. We even have a map of Kent County that was done by a guy named William Sidney Porter. Of course, we know him as O. Henry. O. Henry was a draftsman at the Texas General Land Office in the late 1800s. Very few people know that.
Well, that's another great little tie-in. Since he and I share the same birthday, I just figured Tom Landry was the most famous Texan born on 9/11. So
I didn't know that.
that is pretty neat. I'll remember that for an awfully long time.
Yeah, but just go to the website, and you'll spend lots of time there just clicking around. You'll be fascinated.
We need to wrap things up. What else can we tease listeners about?
Well, you know, again, this is Texas History Month. This is the 175th anniversary. We have wonderful documents at the land office that we're anxious for folks to view online, get copies of them. They make great gifts, and we take the money and we plow it back into restoring more of these documents that have been handled for, you know, 150 years. So I would encourage folks to go to Save Texas History. Just Google that up, SaveTexasHistory.org. Look at what we've got at the Land Office Archives and learn about Texas history. This is the appropriate time to do it.
Does the Land Office have a foundation or some sort of third-party revenue-generating capacity considering the state budget situation?
We do, and this is a separate account. So the legislature doesn't appropriate money for us to restore our historical documents. So we raise money by sales of copies of these documents, and we have, you know, classes, school classes, you know, elementary school kids will adopt a map, raise money for a trust restoration. Major corporations or minor corporations, you know, HEB, Frost Bank, they contribute to the restoration of these documents. And we still use them. I mean, we had a land boundary dispute that we had to go back to the original surveys and the original field notes from 1847 to resolve. So it's a fascinating place.
Again, Jerry Patterson, the commissioner of the Texas Land Office, SaveTexasHistory.org, the best way online to start perusing around and get yourself a little more educated in the 175 years the state's been around. And, Jerry, appreciate the visit.
Yes, sir, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, Jerry Patterson with us on News Talk 1620 WTAW.